for the cross. I'm thankful for the empty tomb, and I am thankful for the resurrection. Amen. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Luke chapter 24, Luke chapter 24 this morning, and that's where we're going to begin at, and the title of this message is Resurrection Proof, Resurrection Proof. And this is not a three-point message, this is an eight-point message. So write down 8 points on the back of your bulletin. I promise I'll have you out of here before noon, I promise. There's going to be eight things or eight proofs that I'm going to give you about the resurrection. You know, I know I'm preaching to the choir this morning, all right? You're here on Easter Sunday, you're a Christian. If you're not, before you leave here today, you will be, I promise that. But a lot of times we hear this story of the Easter story about the resurrection, and it just kind of goes in one ear and out the other, and it's kind of like the little boy crying wolf, you know, and we lose the wonderment or the awe of it. And guys, I want you to really get into this story today with the disciples. I mean, we serve a Savior that lives. We serve a Savior that rose again from the dead. Amen. I mean, let that sink in, and really, the word in the Old Testament is Selah, and that means think about it. So look at somebody and say, Selah. It means think about it. So I want to start off and ask you a question, and have you ever heard of something that was hard to believe? Have you ever heard of anything that was hard to believe? You know, I was thinking about different things in my life. I thought it was hard for me to believe that after Taya and Cameron have been out in Arizona for 6 months, that 6 months would go by fast, that in 6 months that they would be back here in Western Oklahoma, and now here we are. Belief is reality. They're here today. Give them a big hand clap. So glad they're here. By the way, so I'm going to give a little plug for my son-in-law, Cameron, that's here today. He has taken a job with being employed with the Bank of Hydro, but his office is out of Clinton area, and it's with the Sotera Group, right? Sotera Group, he's going to be a financial advisor for Sotera Group. His office is right there on Gary Boulevard, isn't that right, Cameron? And so I encourage you, when's your first day? Wednesday is his first day. So if you've got money you want to invest, he's the guy you want to go see. Amen? And all those that are watching by Church's Aid, and he's the guy you want to go see. And he will help you out. And you don't have to bank at the Bank of Hydro. It's affiliated with the Bank of Hydro. It's a long story. I could preach a whole sermon about it today, about how Jade and I, you know, with Tay and Cameron, have just walked with them through this, that you just got to trust God. Amen? And God will open up the doors. And they had to trust God. They had to trust God literally to the last 2 weeks of that 6 months of where they were going to go, because it was up in the air. And then all of a sudden, God showed up. Isn't God good? God is so good. And during that time, Taya, my daughter, her personality is a lot like mine. She's a good combo of her mom and I. But Taya likes to have things mapped out. How many of you are like that, like to have things planned out? And I kept telling her, I said, honey, you're just going to have to trust God. And she's like, Daddy, I know, but, there's no buts. You got to trust God. And literally that last 2 weeks is when it unfolded, the plan of God for their life, and brought them back here. They're going to be living in Weatherford. Daddy helped them buy a house. Amen. Now, they paid for it, but I just did the real estate process of helping them get the house. But so we're just so thankful that they're going to be back here in Western Oklahoma. And they were over at Liberty Church's, me and Scott, Pastor Scott, might have a throwdown. No, I'm just kidding. But they were over at Liberty Church yesterday with their explosion, where they gave, I think they had 30,000 eggs. Is that right, Cameron? Yeah, so 30,000 eggs that their church did yesterday for kids, and Taya and Cameron got to dress up like the Beauty and the Beast and take pictures with little kids. So it was pretty. But it's hard to believe. I'm sitting up here preaching a message about the resurrection and thinking about, have you ever heard something that was hard to believe? And 6 months ago, I was thinking this morning about Tay and being here today, that it was hard to believe. I didn't know if this day would ever come, that 6 months went by pretty quick. And so they're here today, and I'm excited about that. Daddy can be excited, can't he? Just a little bit. I'm excited to have him here today. But get back to the message. So I want you to turn to Luke chapter 24, and we're going to get to that here in just a second. But I found a story that was hard to believe, but this is actually true. This actually happened, and actually happened not too long ago. It was actually in 2012. There was a missing woman was unexpectedly found during a vacation in Iceland. It turned out that she was on the search team searching for herself. This actually happened. According to the woman, she didn't recognize herself in the description and decided to help with the search. And she found herself on the search. And I thought that was hard to believe, but that actually happened in 2012. But I'm going to give you real quick, this is not part of the message, but I told you to write down 8 different things. I want to give you 5 other things that I thought about. Man, I could turn this in, you know, the pastor in me, I could turn this into a series. But the 5 proofs of Jesus is the Son of God. Number 1 was the proof of his perfect life. Number 2 was the proof of his miraculous power. Number 3 was the proof of fulfilled prophecy. Number 4 was proof of his resurrection from the dead. And that's what we're going to talk about today. And then number 5 is all you guys in here of proof of changed lives. How many of your lives have been changed by Jesus? Amen. Mine too. So I want you to look at the Gospel of Luke. This account of the resurrection is told in all 4 Gospels, but we're going to hone in on Luke chapter 24. And it says, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. Verse 2, it says, they found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly 2 men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, and I love this, why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, he has risen. Look at somebody and say, he has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. Jesus had told them that several times, and it was like, phew, 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 going over the top of their head. Then they remembered his words. And when they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. And it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. And bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves. And he went away wondering to himself what had happened. Wow, that's the story of the resurrection. Now, I'm going to give you 8 proofs about the resurrection. There's a lot of people, you know, that don't believe in the resurrection. I was reading something this week about, they called it the swoon theory. The swoon theory is that Jesus didn't really die. He wasn't really dead when they put him in the tomb, and then all of a sudden, 3 days later, resuscitated and he came back to life. Those people that believe that can't explain how he got up and walked around and appeared to people and went through closed doors and all that stuff, because it would have taken Jesus months, if not, I mean, it could have been a year before he'd have got healed up from all this damage that was done to his body. But miraculously, on the third day, when he arose from the grave, he was in his new body. Now, he still had the piercings, because we know that. The Bible tells us that he appeared to Thomas, and we're going to talk about that here in just a second. But here's the number one proof of the resurrection. The number one proof, what we just read in Luke chapter 24, is the empty tomb. Look at somebody and say, proof number one is the empty tomb. Is the empty tomb. And that is, if you know this story, Jesus, Joseph of Arimathea, was a religious person of the Sanhedrin. He said, he was a believer in Jesus. And he said, I'm going to give him my tomb. And so he gave his tomb to Jesus. They said, you can bury him in my tomb. He was a wealthy man, so Jesus was buried in his tomb in Arimathea. Arimathea was, that's where he was from, where Joseph was from, was not a very big town. So this was a huge event, guys, because everybody had been talking about Jesus, this prophet, but now he's dead. And he started talking about that he was going to be raised to life. And so Pilate heard about this, the religious people heard about this, So he was like, you know, the religious people were saying, you know, the deceiver, he's been deceiving all these people, and he's even said something before he died that in 3 days he's going to rise again. And so Pilate said, well, here's what we're going to do. And I'm paraphrasing all this. You need to read this in the Gospels. He said, we're going to send Roman soldiers to guard his tomb to make sure that nobody comes and steals his body and tries to fake this resurrection and deceive a whole bunch of more people. So they stationed Roman soldiers at his tomb, rolled a stone in front of that tomb to keep him sealed up. And if you read the Gospels, you're going to find out that says the angel of the Lord descended from heaven. There was an earthquake, and it rolled the stone away, and the tomb was opened, and Jesus came out. And it says that those Roman soldiers were so afraid they fell to the ground. I think I'd be afraid too. Amen? And so that's the proof. The proof number one is when these ladies went to the tomb, they were going there to prepare his body for burial because it happened so fast. They put him in the tomb. They didn't have time to embalm him and all those things. And so the women were actually going to the tomb to bring spices to embalm the body of Jesus. And when they got there, they saw the angels, and the angels told them, he's not here. Why are you looking for the living among the dead? He's alive. And so the ladies went back shouting to the guys what had happened. And here's what the guys were doing. How do you know that women are brave? Guys, if you're married, you better raise your hand or you're going to, they're brave. The guys, Peter and this, you know, the outspoken disciple, they're all behind closed doors shaking in their boots, so to speak, because they're afraid. They're like, man, we gave it all for Jesus. We followed him. Now he's dead. They killed him. Guess what? We're next. That's what they're thinking. And they're all behind closed doors, you know, wondering what's going on. Now the ladies went to take care of Jesus. Now, here's proof number two, if you're taking notes. Number two is the testimony of women. How many of you know that women talk? The testimony of women. Now, I'm going to get you into Jesus' day, let you understand why this is so important, that's a proof, the testimony of women. In Jesus' day, not today, all right, ladies, don't stone me. Don't say I'm never coming back to this church because Pastor Mark taught. I believe that women can preach the gospel. The first women preachers, evangelists, were right here in Luke chapter 24, what I just told you. Came back shouting, Jesus is alive. But in Jesus' day, and this is why this is proof that Jesus was resurrected, the testimony of women, if you were going to make up a story about meeting angels and finding an empty tomb, they would have chosen men to recount the tale and not women. God is good. God knows what he's doing. Because in Jesus' day, women had no right to speak. They had no right. They couldn't even go to a court, and they weren't even admissible in court to share a testimony. They were looked at as property in Jesus' day. But Jesus turned that all around. God created both male and female. Amen? There's no second-class citizens. God created all colors and creeds. There's no second-class citizens in God's kingdom. Amen? So this is why this is proof, the testimony of women. God chose women, not men, to tell people that he had rose from the grave. Amen. God is good, I'm telling you. God knows what he's doing. Proof number three. Proof number three. Taya, you shouldn't have told me that before service today. I got to tell you this inside joke. Rabbit trail number one for today is Tay and I, how many of you ever seen the movie Radio? Okay, if you haven't seen Radio, you need to go see it, all right? It's an awesome movie, and it's a true story. But there's a scene in the movie where Radio is with the head coach, and they're at a little diner, the head football coach, and they're at a little diner eating dinner, and the waitress comes up and asks Radio, which kind of pie do you want? Do you want this one or this one? He looks there and goes, I want both. And so we have a little inside joke at home when Jada asked me, what do you want, honey, this or that? I was like, I want both. Both. So anyway, that has nothing to do with the message today. It might help you at Easter dinner today. Just say, I want both. I want both. All right, proof number three. Proof number three is the boldness and power of the apostles. Or the disciples that turned apostles. And I encourage you to go home and read the whole book of Acts, Because what you see in these guys' lives is they go from fear, from cowering behind closed doors and fear of the Roman government, fear of the religious sect of the day, and they go out in the streets and they start preaching Jesus boldly. And the Bible says that Peter went, and Peter was the one that, you know, denied Jesus three times, was hiding and all this stuff. Peter went out and preached boldly in the book of Acts, and 3,000 people got saved. And there was one time behind closed doors, Thomas, you know, Thomas, the disciple, we call him Doubting Thomas, he was behind closed doors, and he told the other disciples, and he was hearing the women say, you know, Jesus is alive, and he was hearing from Peter, yeah, the tomb's empty, don't know where Jesus is at, and Thomas said, you know what, I am not going to believe it unless I can see the nail prints in his hands or in the spear in his side, that I saw all that happen from afar, and I'm not going to believe that until I see it. And all of a sudden, it said, the Bible, you need to read this in the book of John, that Jesus, he doesn't open a door, says he comes right through the wall, comes right into the midst of them and says, boo. No, he says, peace, I am here. And he says, Thomas, come here, put your hands here. And Thomas went over there, and it says that Thomas fell to the ground and said, my Lord and my God. There's another proof. But the boldness and the power of the apostles is proof number three. Okay, here's proof number four. I may have to stop saying proof because I'm saying poof. Okay, proof number four is the changed lives of James and others. And James, and I got to tell you this, James, a lot of people don't know this, but James was the half-brother of Jesus. Now, I want you to get in James's shoes for a little bit, all right? He grew up with Jesus. He had heard the stories that mom, Mary, became pregnant by the Holy Spirit, and that Jesus was the Son of God, the Messiah. James is the half-brother of Jesus because Joseph was his dad and Mary was his mother. And he grew up hearing this, and he didn't believe it because he was around Jesus all the time. I know Jesus. He's my half-brother. I've heard this story about mom and the virgin birth. I don't know if I believe that. I think mom slept around. let's be real. Let's get into this story today is what I'm trying to do. All right, we just think that these guys bought this hook, line, and sinker, and even though they saw the things that he was doing, the miraculous things and all this, and some of them gave up everything and followed him, but after he died, I mean, there was such a shockwave that went through these guys. But James, the half-brother of Jesus, he never did know for sure, because John 7, verse 5, I'm just going to give you this one scripture. It says this about Jesus' family. It says, for even his own brothers did not believe in him. Well, that includes James, all right? Later on, James went on to be the leader of the church in Jerusalem and died for his faith, and I'm going to tell you about that here in just a second. When he became a believer in Jesus, after he saw him after the resurrection, they say that he called himself James the lesser brother. And he even, I've read this, the historical accounts say that he prayed so much on his knees after he saw his half-brother Jesus risen from the dead, resurrected Jesus, that he prayed so much later in life when he was a leader at Jerusalem that he had calluses on his knees from being on his knees so much, James the Lesser. Mary Magdalene was another changed life in Scripture, and there's a lot of them in Scripture. Mary Magdalene, the Bible says she was the first one, you know, that she was the one that went to the tomb. She had brought the spices to embalm him. Mary Magdalene was a prostitute. Seven demons had been cast out of her. The Bible tells us that Jesus, when she encountered Jesus, seven demons were cast out of her, and she was a changed life. Meaning, she used to be jacked up, and now she ain't jacked up no more. Amen? How many of you used to be jacked up? Am I the only one? I used to be jacked up. Now I'm not so jacked up. You know? But guys, that's Jesus. That's the power of Jesus' love and his redemption, is he can take a human heart and change it. And that's what we need to happen in our nation and in our world today, is a radical movement of Jesus in the heart of mankind. That's what's going to stop the gun violence. Amen. It's not the gun. Hello. It's the human heart. It's the heart. The first murder in the Bible happened with a rock. If they don't have a gun, they'll use a rock. If they don't have a gun, they'll use a knife, because it's all about the heart. It's the human heart. So I'm so thankful that I'm not jacked up anymore, and so is Jada. Amen. So that's proof number four, changed lives of James, the brother of Jesus, the half-brother, and others in Scripture. Here's proof number five. There was a large crowd of eyewitnesses. 1 Corinthians 15:6. I'm going to give you these scriptures. I didn't put them on PowerPoint. There's a reason why. It's because my computer went blank this week, so that's why it's not on PowerPoint. But 1 Corinthians 15:6 says that more than 500 at one time saw him. It says actually more than 500 saw him at one time after the resurrection, that Jesus appeared to them. Acts 1:3, here's another something that you need to know. Acts 1:3 says, after his suffering, after the cross, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. So that's proof number five in Scripture. He appeared to a large crowd of witnesses, more than 500 at one time. He appeared to the disciples. And then, after all that, after he had ascended and everything, in proof, this is proof number six, he appeared to the Apostle Paul. If you don't know the story about Paul, Paul was a murderer of Christians. He was going around and killing Christians. And on the road to Damascus, Jesus appeared to him, knocked him off of his high horse, and he was riding a horse, knocked him off his horse, and totally turned this man's life around. And I encourage you to go see the movie that's just been released about Paul, the life of Paul. Turned this man's life totally around, and over two-thirds of the New Testament was written by the Apostle Paul. So Paul was a changed life, and that's proof number six. Here's proof number seven. People died for Jesus. You don't die for somebody if they didn't raise from the dead. Amen? These guys went on and became, they went from fear to boldness to the point of losing their lives for Jesus. And all of them died except for the Apostle John, and he was exiled to the island of Patmos, and that's where he had the revelation of the book of Revelation that we have today. And I looked this up because how did the apostles die? And it says, 2 Peter 1:16 says, we did not follow cleverly devised fables, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. And I'm gonna go down the list here of these guys, and this is proof of the resurrection, that these people died for Jesus. Bartholomew, he was flayed to death by whip in Asia Minor for his belief in Jesus. Andrew was crucified on an X-shaped cross in Greece for his belief in Jesus. These guys did not renounce their faith in Jesus. And the reason why they didn't renounce it is because they saw him resurrected. Amen. They had seen him, eyewitness that he was resurrected. Simon was crucified in Persia. James, which I told you was James the Lesser, this is the half-brother of Jesus who became the leader of the church in Jerusalem. He was later beheaded in Palestine for his belief in his half-brother Jesus. Thomas, Doubting Thomas, that we heard about that day when he fell to the ground and he said, my Lord and my God, he went on to be a missionary to the continent of India, but he was stabbed with a spear in India and gave up his life for Jesus, for his belief in Jesus. Peter was crucified upside down by Nero, and Peter was so bold, he told Nero, he said, if you crucify me upside down, because I'm not even worthy to be crucified in the manner of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So Nero said, okay, buddy, here we go. And crucified him upside down. If you've ever studied about Nero, I just want to take a little side trail here, because I looked at a lot of believers and people in the Bible and people in history that gave their life for Jesus. But when Nero was in power, one of the things that he did for fun, it was he would take Christians and he would dip them in tar and then light them on, because they didn't have electricity back then, but he would dip them in tar, light them on fire, and that was what gave light to the city. And these people willingly did it because they believed in Jesus and they believed in the resurrection. Philip was hung by iron hooks upside down. Matthias, who took Judas's place as the 12th disciple, the 12th apostle, was stoned and beheaded. John, they tried to kill John, the apostle John. They actually tried to boil him in oil, but God miraculously saved him. And so he was exiled to the island of Patmos, and there's where he died of old age, and that's where he had the revelation of the book of Revelation. And then in Jude was crucified by Magi in Persia. James was thrown off a wall, then clubbed to death. And James, that was the son of Zebedee. And then Matthew was impaled by spears in Ethiopia. Now, here's what I want to tell you, guys. That is proof of the resurrection. Those guys willingly gave up their lives for Jesus because they had seen Jesus, eyewitness to his resurrection. And they said, I know he's in heaven. That's where he's at, and he's waiting for me. Another story is in the book of Acts. Stephen was stoned to death. And the Bible even says that before he died, he saw heaven opened up and Jesus standing up at the Father's right hand waiting for him to come home. Man, that's proof, guys. That's proof of the resurrection. People died for Jesus. Are you willing to die for your belief in Jesus? You gotta stop and think about that. Proof number eight. This is number eight. This is the final one. And it's you. Your proof of the resurrection. You being here today is proof of the resurrection. Why would we be here today if there was no resurrection? There's no meaning for us being here today if there was no resurrection. The Apostle Paul said, if there was no resurrection, then my preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain too. But Paul said, I've seen him. He knocked me off my high horse going to Damascus one day, and I was killing Christians thinking I was doing God a service. And he told me to stop it, and he called me into his kingdom and gave me a plan and a purpose for my life. Wow. The proof is you. And guys, there's something I want to tell every one of us in here today. Ecclesiastes 3, verse 11 says that in every one of us, and we saw this in Jordan's heart, we saw it in little Lannon's heart today. I heard about it this week in a funeral service that I did for a second cousin. Was 72 years old, and God, in his mercy, sent somebody by his home to witness to him about Jesus and then baptized him in his bathtub. But here's something that's about every one of us in here. We're all different. We come from different backgrounds, but we're all God's children. And there's something inside of us that God put there. It's Ecclesiastes 3:11, that he has also set eternity in the human heart. Meaning every one of us in here, even atheists, and I heard there's some big atheist convention going on in Oklahoma City this week, the week of Easter. But even they, there's something in their heart that knows there's a bigger plan. There's more to it than this. There's eternity, guys, and that's that Jesus-sized hole that every one of us has in our hearts. And the only person that can fill that up is Jesus. It's not money, it's not more stuff, it's not this, it's not that, it's Jesus. It's not drugs, it's not alcohol, it's Jesus. And I just want to make sure before we all go home today, and I just, this is what I read to you today is the backbone of Christianity. It's why we're here, it's why we worship the Lord, it's why we live for him, it's why there's people in your circle of influence that you need to witness to, that you need to talk to the Lord about, or talk to them about the Lord in your family, your friends. Because the greatest thing that can happen to anybody is what we saw happen to these two young ladies up here, that they gave their lives to the Lord today. That's it, guys. When it all comes down to it, I've done enough funerals in my life now to know that when it all comes down to it, it's our relationship with the Lord and our relationship with other people, and especially our family. That's it. All the rest of it's here today. And we got to have money to pay bills, and we got to have our jobs and all that. But guys, all that stuff just passes away. And so I just want to encourage you to keep the main thing the main thing, and the main thing is your relationship with the Lord and with your family. And everybody said, amen. Amen. All right, I want everybody to bow your heads in here this morning. And I want to, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, well, you're in the right place because the Bible says that today is the day of salvation. When you hear the gospel, that is the time that you need to make a decision. And so I want to lead you in a simple prayer. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10 that if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, that if we believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, and then it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of Jesus shall be saved. And so I want to lead you in this prayer, and even if you do know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want you to repeat this prayer to me. Say, Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I believe you are the Son of God, and you died on the cross for me, and you rose again on the third day. Please forgive me of my sins and create a clean heart in me. Renew my spirit so I can hear your voice. I accept you as my Savior. You are my Lord. Thank you for saving me. And everybody said, amen. Amen. I want everybody to stand up in here this morning. And this is how we're going to go out today. We're going to have communion together as a church family, and our ushers are going to come around. And Cameron, you don't mind helping them. Well, no, Travis has got it. You're okay. Travis has got it. Travis, Clark, and Dusty is going to come around and serve each one of us communion. And we have this available, by the way, every Sunday here at church. So you can come as a family or individually. But we're going to do this all together today because it's Easter Sunday. And it's a little, you'll notice that you have to take the top off for the little bread, piece of bread that's on there. And go ahead and get that piece of bread ready when they come along. Thank you, sir. We're doing this because Jesus told us to do this. And the Apostle Paul even had talked about it in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And I'm going to read out of Luke chapter 22. And this is when Jesus is having the Last Supper with the disciples. In Luke chapter 22, verse 19, it says, and he took bread, and he gave thanks, and he broke it, and gave it to them, saying, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And I want you to hold that piece of bread, and I'm going to pray over it. Father, we thank you for this time together as a church family to do this in remembrance of you, what you did at the cross for us, God. We thank you that your body was broken for us. Lord, the Bible says in 1 Peter 2:24 that by the stripes of Jesus we were healed. And so, Lord, I'm praying that as we partake of this, Lord, there's spiritual healing taking place here, that people receiving you as their Lord and Savior, but God, they can also receive physical healing. And so, Lord, I just pray for physical healing for people here today that are not feeling good in their body, whatever it is, God, I pray physical healing over them in Jesus' name as we partake of Jesus' body, what this bread represents. And God, we do this in remembrance of you in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead and partake. And then you can get your cup ready, the cup of grape juice. And Jesus said this in verse 20, right after he did this with the bread with his disciples. In verse 20, he says, in the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. And basically what Jesus was saying, I'm going to the cross to die for you. My blood's going to be shed for the remission of your sins, and there's going to have to be no more animal sacrifices. I am the Lamb of God that has came to sacrifice myself for you to die in your place. So let's go ahead and partake of this. Father, we thank you for your blood today, God. Your word says that life is in the blood. God, we thank you that Jesus' blood was shed for us, God. The Bible also says that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. And God, we thank you that Jesus was the perfect Lamb of God. He was the perfect sacrifice, God. There's no other sacrifice that's needed now, God, and we thank you that it's finished, and we thank you that Jesus rose from the grave, God, on that third day, God, and that we serve a living, resurrected Savior today, God, and we give you praise for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Okay, now I want to speak a blessing over you. This is my third closing. I want to speak a blessing over you. I believe in the... As I have studied Scripture and in my own life, personally with my family and with my wife, I have, and I'm telling this to the guys, it is powerful to speak blessings over your spouse and over your kids. Amen? And so God has had me doing this in my home, in my life, and but he's also told me as a pastor that when we get together like this and we worship the Lord, he says, he spoke to my heart, I want you to speak blessings over my people. Because we don't realize, guys, that our words are powerful. And we hear a whole bunch of junk during the week, and it's not good stuff that's been spoken over us. Amen. You know, and so I'm going to cancel all that out in the name of Jesus and speak blessings over us, okay? Father, we thank you that the... God, that no weapon formed against us is going to prosper. Yes. God, that your word that's spoken over us is what's going to prevail in the name of Jesus. And so, Lord, I speak a blessing over your people today as they come in here and as they leave today and as they go home and celebrate Easter with their families. Now, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you, and may the Lord give you his peace. May the Lord bless your going out and your coming in today. May the Lord anoint you to fulfill the divine destiny that God has given to you. May everything that is brought against you be crushed by the protection that God himself shall provide. May you be blessed in your health. May you be blessed in your relationships. May your children and your children's children be blessed because they are the heritage of the righteous. From this day forward, as you submit yourselves to the Christ of the cross, may your lives be filled with joy that is unspeakable and full of glory, and with peace that surpasses all understanding. May your home, as the word of God says, be as the days of heaven on earth. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it, and everybody said amen. I want you to hug somebody's neck, shake their hands, fist bump, high five, and tell them happy Easter. Love you guys. Have a blessed week. Yes, thank you, sir.